Stone Singer's blessing sung over you in the history of Cornerstone, so wear it proud. So I want to make a brief proclamation this morning from the Word of God. We've been kind of hopping back and forth between Zechariah and 1 Peter and some other places. There are some amazing teachings in the book of 1 Peter that I want to touch on in the next few weeks. The first one is in verse 3, and I'm going to read 4 or 5 verses, then I'm going to make that proclamation to you, because I think we need it. We need it now. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 reads, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you are grieved by various trials." Today's sermon is called Mercy, and the proclamation, the thought I want to give to you and develop just a little bit is this, that God, above all things, before all things, and in all things, God is a merciful God. Our God is merciful. That's what it says. According to His great mercy, He caused us to be born again. So I think that as you and I discuss salvation in the New Testament, we often say we are saved by grace through faith. And that is true. But I want us to expand that out a little bit. Before He gave us grace to be saved, He was merciful. And mercy and grace in salvation should be combined. You should never leave mercy for the sake of grace. Before I ever thought about God, before I ever questioned whether I believed in God or not, before I knew anything about Jesus or the Bible, God was merciful. We don't come to a God who is hateful, hard to get along with, ready to zap us. We come to a God who is merciful. And that is compassionate and full of pity. So before we were even born, we have a God who looked down on mankind in all of our sin and on all of our mess and in everything we've made of His planet and His creation. We have a God who looks down. And rather than saying they get what they deserve, oh man, I'm not helping him. Rather than anything like that, our God looks down on us with compassion and pity. We have a merciful, merciful God. He could have gone different directions. After Adam and Eve sinned and the world became worse and worse and worse and worse, he could have gone and made any decision in any direction, but God is full of mercy. He's of great mercy. When you and I come to God for salvation, or we come to Him because we have just really messed up. I want you to know, we come to a God full of mercy, full of compassion and pity on us for our sin, for who we are and what we've become. You do not approach a God who you have to slip a little 20 out of your wallet or keep banging, keep banging, keep banging, keep banging. You don't come to a God like that. You come to a good God full of, overflowing with compassion and pity for His creation. That's good to know. That's good to know. It's not hard to come to God. Whatever your history, whatever your track record, it's not hard to come to God. He is there. He is waiting, full of compassion and pity. Like the Father was waiting for His prodigal son to come back. And whereas the brother was not at all impressed, the Father was full of compassion and pity and ran to meet the son and threw a party. It is not hard at all for anyone, any human of any stature, of any sin history, of any nation or anywhere. It is not hard for us to approach God. He is merciful. I'll show you a couple of verses that would seem to support my idea of mercy and grace involved in our salvation. You may be familiar with Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Whereas I read to you initially from Peter, this is now Paul writing. He saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to His own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and the renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that, being justified by His grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. The saying is trustworthy, and I want you to insist on these things. Insist. Insist that you were saved by a merciful God who pours out compassion and pity on us and gives us the grace, and that is the tools, that is what we need to be justified and to come to Him. He gives us that grace, but it begins with His mercy. You are saved by a merciful God before all things. One more that I think is really necessary. You know the verse, "For by grace are you saved." Well, let me read just prior to that, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. Ephesians 2:1. "You were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind. And we were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And He raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So even when we were following them, living like them, they were our guides, they were our mentors, what they said we followed, we bowed to them, even when we followed that, even when we followed our own body, our own desires, our own thinking, we had our own system, our own way, even when we were just like that, we were dead in our trespasses and sins. Don't know if you've ever been to a funeral, but the person in the casket doesn't have a big role. They just kind of stay right there. Even when that was us, a merciful God, a God of mercy, looked down on us, sinners unable to help themselves, unwilling to look up, unwilling to care. He had compassion on us. He had pity on us. And by His mercy, He gave us grace to come to Him. So we serve, and we come to, and always will, a God full of mercy, a God full of compassion and pity for who we are. No question. Now, in saying that, compassion and pity and grace does not mean, please don't excuse this, the word is Elios. It is mercy, compassion, pity. It is not, and never think this, that God's mercy then excuses my behavior, excuses my sin, is ignorant of who I am, somehow doesn't know who I am. Somehow in His compassion and pity, He goes, oh, that's just Terry. Don't confuse that with mercy. That is not what I'm talking about. What I am talking about is that we come to a God full of compassion and mercy who looks down on us, and we're in the deep end of the pool, and we are flailing. And He holds out a stick to us called grace and says, grab this stick. And the stick is the cross of Jesus Christ. And if we don't grab it, we are going to drown. It's not that He's going to excuse who we are, overlook it, go, well, he's had a bad childhood. Well, he had a bad break. It's not that at all. It's just that He feels compassion and He gives us grace, which is what we need to get out of the deep end of the pool. It's a stick. And all you have to do is grab the stick and let Him pull you to safety. He's doing it all. He's doing it all. It would be a shame for someone to be flailing in that water and for you to hold out a stick to them and them go, nope, I think I can do it. I think I can do it. No, I think I can do it. Go down and, oh, I think I can do it. And there's the stick the whole time. Just grab it and I'll pull you over here and we'll teach you to swim later. But we are that way. We are made that way. It is by His mercy that He then gives grace for us to do what we are otherwise unable to do. Titus spells this out so clearly in the passage I read to you. He saved us not by works done by us. We can't do it. He had mercy before we could ever do a work. But according to His mercy, by the washing of regeneration, you can't do that for yourself. And the renewal of the Holy Spirit, you can't give yourself the Holy Spirit. You and I can't renew ourselves. He poured them out on us richly through and only through Jesus Christ, so that we are justified by His grace, by His enabling, what He held out to us. And that's the only glory that happens in this story. God held out a safety pole to me, and I grabbed it. I get no glory, none. I have surrendered my will to Him. He is merciful, and He held out grace in the cross of Jesus Christ, and I received it. I accepted it. I trusted it. Peter says, according to His great mercy, He caused us. He caused us to be born again. You didn't do it. I didn't do it. I was drowning. He was merciful and caused me to be born again. Gave me a pole, a stick, and gave me a whole new start. Born again. That's a whole new you. That's a whole new life. From the inside out, it's a whole new fill in the blank. So His mercy and His compassion, His pity, it's not excusing it, and it's not leaving us in the pool. It's getting us out. It's a whole new start. You've come to a point in your life and you're so dissatisfied with who you are and your sin, your efforts, and you surrender your will to Him. And He says He causes you. He causes me to be born again. I don't cause it. I couldn't change my life for nothing. I couldn't change who I was for nothing. He caused me to be a new person when I couldn't do it. By grace, I have been saved, born again, born again. So a truly saved person by the mercy and grace of God is not the same person he was a year ago. He can't be. He is born again. It's a whole new you. If you're not dissatisfied with who you are, this is going to be very difficult, because He's going to create what's called recreating. Regenerating, Titus said. That's what that means. Regenerating means born again. He's going to make a whole new person out of you. If you're not ready for that, you're not ready for that. He will cause you to be born again. Whole new you. Whole new mind. Whole new thinking. Everything about you will change. You will be now becoming like Christ, born again. He causes you to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Jesus was, in a sense, born again. He was never born again like we are, but He rose again to a new life. And we now are baptized in the water and come up out of the water to say, I was dead and I've been raised and now I'm born again to a whole new life. That's what baptism is all about. If you've never been baptized, we're going to have our picnic next month. Please come and see me. I would love to baptize you for your faith in being born again. You didn't improve. You were born again by God. You were born again to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. You can't do that. Did you give yourself an inheritance in heaven? Did you send something there, FedEx? No. It says it's kept in heaven for you. You can't do that. You can't keep your inheritance in heaven. You couldn't do it if you wanted to. Guarded by God's power because of your faith. You can't even guard yourself. You can't guard your inheritance. We can't do any of that. It is totally because we serve a merciful God who gives us grace. And He does what we can't do. When we're so sick of our life, when we're so sick of our sin, Zechariah said He sends a spirit of grace and pleas of mercy. Spirit of grace and pleas of mercy. And when you and I get to that point where we are just done, I'm over it. I can't do this anymore. I know where my sin is taking me. We plea to a merciful God, and He forgives us and gives us grace to come to Him as a whole new person. One of my, favorite psalms, I guess. I have so many, it's hard to really make that statement. Psalm 130. This was me at one time. Psalm 130, and this is just ongoing. It's day one, and it's day 1001, and day 10,001. Psalm 130 says, out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my pleas for mercy. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquity, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, that you may be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in His word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than watchmen for the morning. Oh, more than watchmen for the morning, O Israel, hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is steadfast love and plentiful redemption. He will redeem you from all your iniquities. Out of the depths I cry. And that's where we come from when we're just done with ourselves. When we're done with our pitiful, wretched, selfish, pride-filled self. When I just keep achieving and I just keep advancing and I just keep moving forward and moving forward. But on the inside, man, it is not there. I still feel this empty, gnawing thing. And out of the depths of our heart, even though on the outside we may look totally successful, totally together, totally beautiful, out of the depths of my heart and the emptiness in there, I cry to a merciful God, and He forgives me. And if you should keep score of sin and iniquity, there is no one that could stand, but there is forgiveness with God because He is merciful. He is always, always merciful. You can always come to Him no matter what. What a magnificent thing. He gives us grace. He gives us what we totally cannot do. In this, He says, you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you're grieved by various trials. And we are grieved and we have trials. There's so much going on around us now. Not sure which ends up or what to do. And if you're like me, you've made mistakes already in this weird soup we call American culture now. And I want you to know, you still come to a merciful God. If you've totally blown it, if your thinking and your philosophy and your direction and how you've handled this whole thing we're in, if you look at it, you've blown it, you're coming to a merciful God. He's full of compassion and pity. There's nothing going on here out of His control. Nothing too big for Him. He's got a path right through it. I can say so confidently to Caleb, stick with the Lord, Caleb. He'll part this Red Sea just like He did that one. You're safe. You're fine. No fear. Be a Moses, man. Be a Moses. Lead him right through the Red Sea. Lead him right through it. We've all probably said things we wish we hadn't. Reacted with frustration and anger and snarkyisms we wish we wouldn't have. We come to a merciful God. He understands we are in a mess right now. So go to Him. Go to Him. And plead for mercy from a God of great mercy. Plead for grace. Ask for grace. God, I can't do this. God, I don't know what to do. I don't know what's right and what's wrong. I don't know which direction to go. He gives grace. He gives grace. We can go to Him. By all means, if you have never, ever, ever come to the end of your empty heart and just said, look, I don't even know how much I believe in You. But that cross sounds really wonderful to have all my sins forgiven. And for me to be able to receive the help I need to change the course of my life, here I am, God. If You're there, bring it on. Bring it on. I'm going to trust You with this. He'll pour grace on you and cause you to be born again to a living hope. You know what's so cool about that? It's not a dead hope. It's not a hypothetical hope. It's a living hope. It's when the Holy Spirit of the living Christ comes into you, His Spirit in you now starts having conversations with your spirit in you. And it's alive. And I can't put it on paper for you. It's already on paper. But you and Jesus will have this living relationship because that Spirit is in you, recreating you and leading you and guiding you and regenerating you and renewing you. He's sealing you. And you have something so alive in you that you really can't explain. Jesus kind of said it this way, and I will close with it. And all I know is we can have it. There was a man of the Pharisees, a very religious man, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night, and he said to Him, Rabbi, we know You're a teacher come from God. No one can do these signs that You do unless God is with him. And Jesus answered him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you don't know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. I can't explain this living hope to you because it's like the wind, and I can't corral it or contain it. It comes and we know it's there. We feel its power. We feel its refreshing breeze on a day like today. We know it's there, but I can't explain it, where it came from or where it went. But the Spirit will come inside of you and totally change who you are. And it's living. So you will talk with Him and feel Him and hear Him. When you read His Word, you will hear His voice in here. It's a living hope. It's amazing. It's amazing. Caleb, you are blessed this day. You were born of Carly and Eric. You are born of the flesh. That's what that means. And you were born of the Spirit because we were able to baptize you in that pond down there. You've been born of water and the Spirit, of the flesh and the Spirit. You have been born again. God bless you. You will see the kingdom of God. And the Spirit has come into you, inside of you. And maybe already you've felt little nudgings, little tweakings, little things in there that no one knows but you. It's all yours. It's all yours. It's personally handcrafted just for us. I'm so unique and unusual. I need a little personal touch from the Holy Spirit. You know what I mean? So do you. So do you. But it's a living hope. And you can't take that from us. Someone who knows the life of Christ living in them, who's felt the breath of Christ, who's heard His voice in them, you'll never, never get it away from them, ever. They will go to their grave clutching their relationship to Jesus Christ. You've been born again by the mercy of God. You come to a God full of compassion and pity. He is ready to save you. He is ready to hold that stick out and say, I know you're drowning, but here is the way. It's a beautiful thing. Wherever you find yourself today, unsaved, you come to a merciful God. He's easy. He's easy to come to. He'll give you what you don't have to be justified, to be right in His sight. He's give us that. And now it says, how much more will He give us to navigate this life? And we need that, don't we? He's a gracious, merciful, kind, loving God. Come to Him. Just give yourself to Him. And if you're like me, and you've already read the headlines and heard the stories and fumed inside with frustration and anger and resentment, you've made some poor choices. Certainly haven't acted with the love of Christ. You come to a merciful God. You come to a God ready to forgive, who doesn't keep score of all our sins. Who could stand? We have a merciful God, and we need to know that today. We need to know that in this country. Have a little mercy. I'm going to close, and I think they've got several songs to sing. Got several songs? Got a few songs? All right. Come on up. We're going to sing. God is good. We know that. So, Lord, I pray you'll just open our hearts and our minds right now. There's no one on this planet as merciful and kind and gracious as you, as forgiving as you. So, Lord, as we sing now to you, even now, may your Spirit begin to speak to our hearts. Draw us to yourself by your compassion and pity, and give us what we don't have, but we so desperately need, through the cross and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.